Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Wednesday. First, with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Tuesday. Another royal baby on the way. Big whoop. Have we reached peak phone? And are they going to kill us? These are important questions we need answers to. And ask Barpal's back as well. That's another important one. But first up, employment these days.
I've got a 12-year-old boy. He's been doing a paper run for 3 years. He understands that even though it's just paper run, they've got to be delivered on time. Everyone's got to get one. If it's raining, you put a raincoat on. And it's stinking hot, you take your shirt off. I'm helping him learn that, you know, you don't be late. You do what you promise to do. You do what you get paid to do. I guess he's lucky that I'm able to do that for him.
Yeah, I think Dylan was right. I think we forget sometimes when we look at people that are 21, 22, and what you classify as a no hope or an useless and aren't achieving in life as we would like them to, that 9 times out of 10, they haven't had a Mitch in their life or, you know, a Barry in my respect or, you know. You need to have these parents like yourself to teach these kids these things or teach kids these things. And if that parent isn't there or an auntie or uncle isn't there, if nobody teaches them, then how are they supposed to know?
Well, that's what apprenticeship's all about, isn't it? To show them where the choke is, to show them how to turn the fuel on. And if you're not doing an apprenticeship, we got young people, we do engineering, we've got young people with us that know nothing. But that's why they're there, because they know nothing, they're there to learn. Some people don't have the patience to teach, I suppose. But I don't think you should, put down young people because they don't know anything. I've been in the workforce 40 years, so everything I know I've learnt over the last 40 years, but when I started work I knew nothing.
Yes, my youngest is delivering flyers. That's her first job. She really likes money, really hates the job, to which I always just respond, that is real life. Most people hate their jobs, but they like the money. These are the lessons you need to learn young. Unless you're a royal, of course, in which case you don't need a real job.
Kate has apparently said that she thinks that George has no idea what's about to hit him. And you imagine he's probably been running amok at Kensington Palace now for a solid 4 years, and he'll go to school. They start early in the UK at 4. So it's a bit of a cross between kindy, I think, and new entrant class. Not a moment too soon, I imagine, if you're Kate and William. I'm pretty sure George is ready to go to school. In the meantime, as they do in the UK, the bookies are taking bets on a name. If it's a girl, the current front runners are Alice, Elizabeth and Victoria. Diana, of course, 20 years since she died. She's 25-1. The most popular boys' names are Arthur, g'day Arthur, and James. Couple of Game of Thrones names have popped up as well as an outside chance. Also, so has Muhammad. you got to love a bit of British humour, don't you? I'm standing by now for the call, and this always happens, from my mother, who will want to talk all about this because she loves a royal baby. And I know what she'll say. She'll say, gosh, 3 young children, won't Kate have her hands full? And I'll have to say, no, the Cambridges have got nanny's mum and butlers and cooks and gardeners and cleaners and stylists and drivers and probably a PA or two as well. So Lord knows who else. So while it's lovely news, no, Kate probably won't have her hands full as such. So this baby fifth in line to the throne behind Charles and William and George and Charlotte, because there was that change made in 2015 in Britain. So the royal sons no longer take precedence over their female siblings. And I tell you he'll be particularly happy about this, and that will be Prince Harry, because the arrival of another baby means he gets bumped further down the chain in terms of being in line to the throne. So Harry will now be a distant sixth. I imagine he'll be pretty chuffed about that.
Why do we care about this stuff? I cannot understand why we keep talking about it and taking notice of what these idiots are up to. Oh, it makes me so mad. Can we talk about how awesome phones are these days? That'll make me happy.
So are smartphones in a ridiculously boring place right now?
Not quite yet. I mean, some people say they are, and that report you quote is one of them. But others are saying there's a little bit of life left in it yet. What's happening is it's really to do with the sheer size of numbers and the fact that the market's saturated. We hit the point about a year ago. We hit the point where half the people in the world had a smartphone of some description, which is that still means there's half the world still yet to buy one. But that's pretty much close to, you know, saturation point in some ways. But I was just looking at the numbers, right? In the first quarter of this year, they sold roughly 350 million smartphones. Okay, if you multiply that out to a year, and it's not because they don't sell the same number every quarter, but let's just stick with me on this. Multiply that out to a year. That's about 1.5 billion phones a year. And there's 7.5 billion people in the world. So, you know, by that, one in five people gets a new phone every year. So they're going to carry on selling. They're just not going to sell in those kind of numbers.
Yeah, I mean, is the real trial here isn't finding a good phone, it's finding a bad one. I mean, they're all pretty good now, aren't they?
They're all fabulously good.
I mean, that's partly true, but newer ones are better than older ones. There's a fear of missing out factor. And really, until we're communicating via chips in our heads, there's still an opportunity to make them better. Oh, I love a phone, don't you? I hope that's not killing me, though.
Hello, Brian.
Good morning. I just wanted to say a few things about 5G. I don't know if you're aware of 5G and what it is, or would you like me to explain it?
I would say, an educated guess, is 5G is the next generation of mobile phone and internet data transmission that's a bit better than 4G, which was better than 3G, which was better than 2G before it.
Bingo! You got that right on. 5G is the fifth generation of telecommunications.
Okay, yeah.
You get an A-plus for that one. 5G offers, I'm reading this straight off what it says about it. 5G offers mind-blowing data capabilities, practically unrestricted call volumes, and near infinite data broadcast. It does this by 5G using largely untapped bandwidth of the millimeter wave.
All right. I get it, Brian. It's got better. So what's your point?
I need to explain this so you know what I'm talking about, which is between 30 gigahertz and 300 gigahertz. That's 30 and 300, as well as some lower and mid-range frequencies. So the thing you got to know about this is 3G and 4G at the moment are only working between 1.8 and 2.5.
Brian, please don't tell me that the oscillations are going to start creating terrible things happening in our bodies.
Just bear with me just for a second.
You're going to do it, aren't you?
I'm speaking the facts. So 3G's working between 1.8 and 2.5 gigahertz. 4G is working 2.8 gigahertz.
Yes.
And this new 5G that they're going to be bringing out is working between 30 and 300 gigahertz, which is a huge leap. And the thing is, you got to know is that the higher the frequency, the worse it is for the human body. And the thing about it.
And that is why we should never let anybody call Brian on air, basically. It's isn't it amazing that life expectancy keeps going up and up and up in spite of all these things that are killing us? Amazing. Maybe it's because of the higher uptake of Sparpool usage that makes us feel better.
They seem to be back, and I'm surprised by that. And has anyone gone and got one of those wood-fired ones? Because I've had long discussions with them at the A&P shows, but it seems to me they take forever to get hot. And can you run coal on them? Marcus bought a spa pool after the post-correct rebuild. Best decision ever. Forced to put the technology away, talk, relax, and great for the old bones. Haven't looked back. Cheap to run. So do people regret spa pools, or do people think they're a good idea? I like a soak, but we're having kind of one of those discussions at home. I want to go for the wood-fired one, where you stoke it up like a train. Basically, if you can burn it, I'm into it. To have one plugged in and people getting in there and soaking it, I'm not into it at all. But a wood-fired one that you actually refill each time, then I think you can take it when you move it. It's not wired and it's got a much more simpler kind of... I'm raving.
Yeah, Marcus just, once again, unfortunately, doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, there's no point in having a spa pool that is an effort to use. You just need to be able to jump into it when you feel like it. Yes, that is the voice of experience talking, although mine is sort of turned off at the moment because It doesn't cost much to run as long as it's not super cold, but once it gets super cold, it does. And then the power bill goes up, and then the domestic manager says, hey, power bill's gone up. And I try and say, no, it's the kids and their long showers, but when you've got 1,000 litres of water that you're trying to keep hot outside. Anyway, I'm raving now, so let's stop that. That's been News Talk ZB for Wednesday. I will see you back here again for Thursdays tomorrow. Have a relaxing day in between, won't you?